We come to this place for magic. We come to pop overview, to laugh, to cry, to drink, because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when we hit the play button and go somewhere we've never been before. Sound that I can feel. Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn. Together. Pop Poor Review. We make movie podcasts better.
I've waited years. How many years? By now it must be.
It's 23 years. 4 months, 8 days.
Why didn't you sleep?
Oh, I had a couple of stretches. I stopped believing you were coming back. Something seemed wrong about dreaming my life away. I learned what I could from the black hole. But I couldn't send anything your father. We've been receiving, but nothing gets out.
Welcome back, everybody. Have you popped open a beer or poured yourself a glass of wine yet? Because you're listening to Pop Poor Review, Jimmy Chico.
Hi.
Kelly Gong.
Hello.
And myself, Matt Chico. We are the movie podcast where we journey through the IMDb Top 250 list. If you don't have a drink yet, you can try today's inspired drink based off number 22, Interstellar. The drink is the black hole. It's bourbon, espresso, brown sugar syrup, and chocolate bitters. So yeah, 22, Interstellar. That's the number at the time of this recording. 2014, director Christopher Nolan, writer Jonathan Nolan and Christopher Nolan, starring Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain. IMDb rating 8.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes score 73%. Critics, 86% audiences. Letterboxd, 4.3 out of 5. Box office, domestic, $188 million, $244.9 million adjusted for inflation. Worldwide, $647 million, $843 million adjusted for inflation. Oscars, it got nominated for best score, best sound, best production design, and it won for visual effects. Do you think that Matthew McConaughey should have been in this and the best actor contention for this?
No.
Who is the nominees? Jimmy, why now?
I don't know. I just don't think he was that great in it. I don't know. The acting was okay.
To me, it was more the scene of him rewatching, like the scene alone of him rewatching all those videos. Like, I was like, that's really good. That was the scene that made me think about it.
I thought Jessica Chastain was like really good in this.
Oh, you thought she was better than Matthew McConaughey?
I did. Also, I think Matt Damon was the best out of all of them. Because he had something sinister going on.
Okay, well, who was nominated that year?
It was Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. He won. Steve Carell for Foxcatcher. Bradley Cooper for American Sniper. Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game. And Michael Keaton for Birdman.
Okay, then, no, he didn't deserve to be nominated with, not with those performances.
These are all good. It's a stacked one, but, like, I still think I would have been fine if he was, like a surprise in there, but I can see why he didn't get in there, but that scene alone, every time I think about that scene, I'm like, he's so good in that, like, rewatching the videos. I think about that scene, like, that's the scene I associate with Interstellar.
Well, I think everyone does. Like, it was just, it's the most devastating scene, but the list that you just gave out, I was like, those were all, like, in much better than his. Not saying that he didn't do a good job.
That was a stack year. Yeah, that was a good acting year.
That's not, I was about to say, like, there's no breakthrough for him in those.
Very true, very true. So we are gonna shotgun some facts. Jimmy, do you want to start?
Okay, so starting in 2014, Paramount Pictures began to cease releasing its features on traditional film stock in favor of digital projection formats. However, as Christopher Nolan is a strong proponent for the continued use of film prints over digital, he insisted that this movie be additionally released in the 1570mm IMAX, standard 70mm and 35mm film formats a full 2 days before its wider digital release, which I completely forgot it did that. And then I went online and I was like, oh, it was in like 400 theaters and still made a bajillion dollars just for the film.
I don't remember it doing that. Yeah, I don't remember it having like a huge,
like, I think it made like film. It made like $4 million in those 2 days.
I thought you meant like total, and I was like,
Was it at the end of its run and like in theater, or did it leave theaters and then come back for that?
No, it literally came out on a Wednesday, just in film projection.
Oh.
And then that Friday is when it went wide with all the digital.
Oh, so it did it before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting.
He said, approach. If you want to see this early, you got to go see it in film. Find a theater. Drive 3 hours.
I can see Christopher. That's a great Christopher Nolan thing.
Well, yeah, he did that with Tenet, and that's why Universal was like, I don't think we're going to be friends anymore.
I mean, I feel like
Warner Brothers. And then Universal's like, okay.
I think he's happy with the way that his life panned out after Warner Brothers.
We can do whatever you want. You want to release it only in film? Sure, but we can't guarantee theaters will be able to screen it.
Oh, they screened it.
Not all theaters were in film.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, look at the outcome of Oppenheimer, and you know, people saw it either way. Kelly, what is your shotgun fact?
My shotgun fact was that, as everyone knows who listens, I love practical effects, and Christopher Nolan is one of like the best directors to do practical effects with a budget that makes sense. And so one of the things that I thought was really cool was the fact that he planted like over 500 crops of corn to grow just so he could drive the fucking truck through them. And then he actually sold the corn and used the profit to help pay for the film. So good on you for practicality.
I think I read also he only knew to do that was because I think they did that on Man of Steel as well. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll do that for mine as well.
That's
how he raised the money for Oppenheimer too. Do you not remember the corn scene?
Mm-hmm.
Corn.
He now has a brand deal with corn. He has to have a cornfield in every movie.
He's going to be remaking the Broadway play Shucked. He will be directing that and writing that, and it will be only filmed in IMAX 70mm, so you must see that in the 12 theaters in the US.
I'm not going to lie. That'd be really interesting to see Christopher Nolan do a musical. Just saying.
I feel like he would never be able to let go of like his science fiction.
Actually, but didn't he say La La Land was like like one of his favorite films?
I feel like lately on his like Oppenheimer awards tour that he's been doing, like
he likes every
a
film
lot of movies.
But Barbie.
Pretty much that's what he's been doing. Yeah.
I think he said it like once.
Oh, did he actually?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that has been like a funny like meme online where they were all doing the tickets and the Christopher Nolan was like, no, thanks. My shotgun fact is the black hole was so scientifically accurate. It took approximately 100 hours to render each frame in the physics and VFX engine, meaning every second on screen took approximately 100 days to render the final copy. On April 10th, 2019, Jimmy, your birthday.
My birthday.
The first photo of a black hole was made public that looked very similar to the black hole shown in the movie.
Wait, so the black hole wasn't practical?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Surprise, no, surprise.
No. Way to go.
I mean,
he set off an atomic bomb, but he couldn't do a black hole.
No, that was Universal, Jimmy. Warner Brothers didn't let him do these crazy things.
Not Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers just let him film in reverse.
Oh, this is Paramount, though. So this I forgot he dealt with somebody's different
studio. So every studio but Warner Brothers let him do. Oh, wait, no. Paramount was like, no, you can't make a black hole. You can't possibly destroy the world and create time dilations.
Exactly.
But Universal's like, you do you.
Literally.
You want to destroy the world just to make a movie? Sure. They said that the black hole was so scientifically accurate that scientists now are still using that model.
Mm-hmm.
To like write papers and come up with theories and shit. And I'm just like, is Christopher Nolan like low-key a scientist? Like, what?
Well, that's like, what I was going to ask. Because I read online that they had, I think his name was
Dr. Kincaid or something.
Kip Thorne. He literally, I think, like told Christopher Nolan, like, I'm working on your movie. We're not going to do anything that's not in the realm of possibility. I think there was only one thing that he said, like, no, we have to do this for the movie. And like, to like kind of take away science from it, but they said everything that happened in this movie technically except for the black hole parts, I think that was the scenes where he was like, no, we're gonna do this for the movie, is technically scientifically accurate.
What, like, the fuck, like,
does that help the movie or does that like make it more confusing? Like,
when Jimmy just came home, I was watching a YouTube video. I'm like, explain Interstellar to me, because I still don't understand the ending when he's in that room like at all.
It really, because I think a lot of the reviews, I think they said sometimes it was just like too much for them. And I will say that is one of the flaws that I have also. It's just like, I was it takes away because you start thinking about, I mean, also, I'm not great with time travel and science.
I was about to say, we should preface this with saying that the Chico boys are not good with time travel movies.
No. So whatsoever. Them trying to explain a black hole that you can just like bend time, I was like, I'm so confused. But,
no, well, that was the wormhole, not the black hole.
Wait, were those two different things?
With the paper?
Yeah, but were going into the black hole, I thought.
No, they were going into a wormhole.
I thought the wormhole and black holes are the same thing.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I thought they were different because the wormhole is what got them closer to all the scientists that were out there.
And what did the black hole do?
The black hole made him travel through time.
What?
And do the book things in the dust.
See, this is the problem.
You know, this is just like 2001 A Space Odyssey. We just don't understand what.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If that, I feel like the 20th century's like crazy movie for like sci-fi was 2001. I feel like the 21st century's 2001 is Interstellar.
I would just like to say though, before I forget, when you were reading the critic and audience scores,
mm-hmm.
they were very low compared to how high this is on the top 250 list.
I agree.
I was like, oh, I thought it would have been higher, but I guess not. I guess people were just confused. They didn't understand it. It was a different time.
I was shocked more by the critics.
Pre-COVID. Like, I don't know.
Okay, that had that much of an effect on it?
Well, masks. They didn't understand masks.
I will say that triggered me a little bit when they were like, everyone mask up. I was like, oh, God.
I know. I was like, this is COVID. It's COVID. That happened to me when I was watching, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, because I was doing a Planet of the Apes rewatch. And I was like, they died of the simian flu. It was airborne and they were all wearing masks. And like everything, like even the fake news, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is COVID.
Like, I know. I do feel like this were like, if 2001 could have got made today, it would have just been called Interstellar. Like, I forgot about that when we first saw the movie, because I haven't seen it since I think it came out. Okay, let's take a quick break. Before that, Jimmy, can you please read a summary for Interstellar?
Earth's future has been riddled by disasters, famines, and droughts. There is only one way to ensure mankind's survival: interstellar travel. A newly discovered wormhole in the far reaches of our solar system allows a team of astronauts to go where no man has gone before, a planet that may have the right environment to sustain human life. I just like to say two things here.
Okay.
Wormhole. I was right.
But no, because it doesn't say black hole.
Because it doesn't talk about the black hole.
No, but then they go to the black hole later on.
But I thought when they come out, they see the black hole because they just came out of it.
No, 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 no.
If a scientist listening right now, can you please let us know what the
wormhole brings them to the far reaches of our solar system?
So what does the black hole do?
Time.
No, Jimmy, because
you're not answering it, so then we can't support you.
No, because then what about this? When they're going and Anne Hathaway sees the kind of figure and like shakes hands with it, you realize he's in the black hole when that happens. So isn't that the same thing?
No, I think they're different. Okay. I'm going to go on Wikipedia during the break. Different.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break.
Also, hold on.
Oh, okay.
But it says where no man has gone before. Didn't they send like 12 people in through that wormhole?
Yeah, and they all died.
So
not all of them.
So man has gone there before.
They just never came back.
Yeah, that's never true. Came back.
So it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
No,
well, while we all think about this, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to the That's More Like It podcast. I'm your host, Monica Moore Smith, and I hope you guys are ready to grow, to change, to learn, laugh, have some chit chats, and talk with the amazing ladies I'm going to be bringing on, talking about their journey, how they got from A to B, trials, triumphs, and everything in between. And I just want you guys to be a part of the More community. So come get more, join the podcast, listen in. We're starting June 9th, so set your calendars, because I want you to get to a place in life where you say, that's more like it.
And we're back. Jimmy has some great news that he wants to share. Jimmy, fill us in.
I was right. I am science. It says a team is preparing to travel through a wormhole near Saturn, leading to a galaxy with three potential habitable planets based on the data from three probe missions, each orbiting the supermassive black hole Gargantua. Now, a wormhole is a hypothetical structure connecting disparate certain points in space time. So it's like the piece of paper folded and you poke the hole through it and you just go zoom right there. And a black hole is a mass with a lot of stuff going on. Gravitational collapse. So once you're in a black hole,
you're dead.
You can't come out unless you're Matthew McConaughey.
I was going to say, unless you're Matthew McConaughey. So, but anyway, I'm glad we... I mean, that didn't really help me because I'm still confused, but...
But it was two different things.
Okay, well, that I can move on from that. Now I know that. I know one more thing than I did before. So, number 22, do we think it should be on the list, number one? And do you think 22 should be the correct number? Jimmy, let's start with you.
I do think it should be on the list, but I think it's just a teensy bit too high.
Where do you think?
Like in the hundreds.
Okay. Kelly?
I was going to say what Jimmy said. I think it deserves to be on the list, but I think it's very high for where it is. I think it should be in the hundreds. Not like low hundreds. I'd say 100 to 150.
I kind of agree with you guys. I think it should be on the list. I think maybe I would put it maybe from like 90 to like 110, and like I wouldn't be upset if it was like above 100, but like I think 22 is, there's other movies I think that are more deserving of like that high. That I feel like anything above 30 is like, there's almost like it's almost a perfect film to a lot of people, and I don't think a lot of people, based on the Rotten Tomato score and critics score, like both audience and critics, I don't think everyone has that consensus like other movies on this, like The Dark Knight. You know what I mean?
Well, I just think people just didn't understand it. It was a lot of science.
I was watching, I'm like, I wonder, I do feel like Christopher Nolan, movie by movie, has been like leading up to Oppenheimer to tell like a perfect story, because he did a much better, I know it's different sciences, but he did a much better job kind of explaining quantum physics and physics in Oppenheimer than he did here. And I wonder if he like kind of learned that from movie to movie.
I think he did, especially with Tenet.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like Oppenheimer though wasn't, it was more history than it was science.
I think it's a lot of science.
Yeah, you know what the thing with Oppenheimer is that it's already proven science.
That's true.
So he can actually explain it.
And we all know what happens.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, this should happen. It's like, no, it's not like all about the science. It's more about the human emotion of what they're doing.
True.
And political stuff. It's not just like all science.
It's a biopic, guys. So it's easier for us to
understand it
because, one, it's proven. We're not talking about any type of theories, and it's, you know, there's nothing to dissent from. Like, it's like Jimmy said, it's history, it's facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, obviously we play with facts and stuff like that, but it's generally not, it's not like Interstellar where like we don't actually understand what wormholes or black holes really do, mm-hmm. or Tenet, where I still can't really explain to you Tenet like at all.
Now, we all kind of said it does not deserve to be this high, and like, you know, we probably all have issues with it. Like, what is the issues that you have with Interstellar and Oppenheimer?
Well, the acting isn't that great. I mean, not great, but it's good acting, but it's not like blow your like pants off, like blow me away acting or anything like that. And two, I think it is because of how convoluted it gets at the end. Like, it's very confusing, so it's hard to enjoy a movie 100% when I still don't understand where it's going. Like, was this sci-fi? Like, is it, like, was it like a celestial being? Were we talking about God? Like, it's the same thing with 2001: A Space Odyssey at the end, where I'm just like, is this supposed to be like spiritual? Is this aliens? Like, what exactly is this?
No, yeah, and,
I just think that takes a lot away.
It takes you out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the acting didn't make me not like it. I thought like I said, Matthew McConaughey was very good. Everything else, like, it was good acting. Like you said, nothing that's going to blow me away or anything. But my big problems were, like, one, I think it was very convoluted, especially towards the end. And then also, I feel like because it was, I think the runtime could have been shortened a little bit. Because I feel like they might have, I don't know if it was the ending that made me more confused or the signs throughout. But I just feel like the runtime, like, it had a great emotional moment, stuff like that. But I thought the runtime dragged it out, where I think you got pulled out too many times with the science.
See, I thought the runtime was fine. It flew by for me. It didn't feel like 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the runtime. I think it's also just, like, the focus of the movie. Like, what is the focus of the movie? Is this, like, about a father and a daughter? Like, it's, like, or is it about the unknown? Like, I feel like that it was a lot of, it may have lacked a little focus, because it's, like, do I want to see more of, like, Murph and him trying to get back to each other? Like, what am I think, do I want them to see a new planet? Do I want him to get back to the past? Like, what am I getting at, you know?
No, and that might be why maybe it fell a little, because I agree, like, I watched it, I was only planning on watching, like, an hour of it, and then I got into it, and I'm not saying I didn't get into the movie, it's just, I think there was parts where I was like, you know, this part might not be necessary, or, like, maybe I don't need to see a bunch of, like, flash forward to, like, the older Murph and the son. It was just, I feel like, maybe the pacing, pacing or the editing could have been a little cleaned up more, but I did like like, a lot of people say Christopher Nolan doesn't have a lot of heart in his movies or emotion. And I feel like this one, I forgot how much emotion there was in this movie. Because it, to me, what I got out of it was mostly about kind of like him and Murph, like Cooper and Murph. And I just didn't, I forgot how, you know, my many heart, like, how many attachments to, like, you know, emotions it had, which did surprise me. I was like, oh, I wish Christopher Nolan added more of it into more of his movies, because he does do it very well.
I think that could also be a reason why it didn't hit as well, because it's like, is this a human story? Is this a sci-fi story? It doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, you can always blend them, but mm-hmm. I think because, you know, like you said, like, he doesn't normally do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, here's the emotional part, here's the scientific part. I don't know. There's just like, it's not like a huge disconnect. I love this movie.
Yeah.
It's just like this much of a disconnect.
No, I agree with you. I'm the same way. Because I also did like the whole aspect, and I, like, saw other people say the same thing. It was like, it wasn't that, where was it? It's not about, like, you know, we're not meant to save this world, which it usually is. They have to save the world. It's more like we have to leave. And I like that kind of premise of it from a sci-fi point of view, or, you know, like, the science necessarily isn't going to save us, it might hurt us in the end. Like, it kind of turned that aspect on its side for a sci-fi movie, which I did enjoy, which was kind of different from other ones.
I think that could also be one of the reasons why so many people were kind of detracted from this.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, one, they wanted to see Matthew McConaughey, you know, somehow get back to Earth to young Murph and not have missed her entire life. And then, two, the fact that, you know, when Michael Caine's character was dying, he's like, yeah, no offense, but, like, fuck the Earth. Like, we're just doing this to save the future.
And it was always plan B. And, like, that I like, because it's normally, you have to have, like, the, you know, you have to save the day. And, like, they did save the day, but, like, not in the more conventional way, which I kind of liked.
No, yeah. I mean, it's a good movie. It's really good. And I enjoy it. Like, I have a thing about space movies. Like, I love space. Like, I think I watched Interstellar again, like, over the summer. I was going through, like, a space, like, movie mm-hmm. thing where I was watching, like, Space Cowboys, Armageddon. Then there's Interstellar. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. Like, I just love space. I think space is so cool.
Well, he also did a really good job, I feel like, paying homage to, like, all the other, like, sci-fi. Because he said, like, this was kind of like a movie that, like, based on the movies I saw growing up. So, like, you know, Star Wars, Alien, 2001, all that kind of, like, Metropolis. I mean, he didn't see when it came out, but still. I just feel like that also, I like that aspect to it. Like you said, it's a good movie. There's a lot of great things about it. I just feel like you said, there's disconnects that like just that like take you out of it sometimes.
No, yeah, 100%. Like this is probably like you keep saying like this is the this is our 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz there's so many connections between it.
Oh my god, yeah.
But like I'll say this, this is just like a random thing, but I think like Kay Centaurs, I was like, why the fuck would we ever build something that's like a giant fucking rectangular block?
It was a very interesting future, I noticed. It wasn't like a high-tech future like normal. Like, I wonder if like they wanted to, I think they wanted to do what normally isn't done in like sci-fi movies. And because I noticed that too, I was like, that's a very large robot. Like, I feel like normally it's like so small and confined and all that stuff and like sleek. This was very robust, I feel like. So like it's
also like, you know, when we generally do AI, I don't know why us as humans want to do this, but we generally always try to make it look kind of like at least a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like Tarzan and Cases was just straight up like just like a fucking rectangular metal block that like,
yeah, but it know, did different like shapes this. I like the different shapes.
Did it?
I liked how when it was getting Anne Hathaway, it was running very weird. It was like
in a circle. Like when it turns into a star and just rolls.
Yeah.
When did it do that?
A couple times.
Oh.
You mean like when it was like doing like, I mean, not Jimmy's, but Matt, when it was like doing like an ape run where it was like.
Oh, yeah. Like seeing on the water planet. It was like literally like the arms were spinning, but like the middle part was staying still. And all of a sudden you see Anne Hathaway like in its arms. I was like, that's weird. But also that scene's amazing with the whole like. With the hell scene as a whole is such a good scene, but that also confused me when they were like, okay, we're going down for 3 minutes. We're losing 17. No. I'm like, oh God.
I'm going to be like 100% honest. I like the scene where he's watching the videos from Jessica Chastain and his family. Like that's very sad. But the part that made my mouth drop, I remember when we first watched it in theaters, was when they got back up to the ship and he's like, you've been gone for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember in the theater, I was like, the fuck?
And he was just by himself for 25 years. He had no one to talk to.
Like the devastation, the absolute devastation and the music. Like, I was just like, I am devastated for these people. And yeah. They're not even real.
I mean, I know. And all the like the technical stuff was so good too. Like a normal Christopher Nolan movie. Like the visual effects were, I feel like this and Gravity are like some of the, is like the top space visual effects.
Yeah, Gravity is really good.
Yeah, and then like the music was, I mean, Hans Zimmer is so great, but like such a lot of the technical stuff was just, is also what like, so, even if you were confused, you were just like gazing at this movie because it was both like a visual and an audio kind of like sensory, which I liked.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Christopher Nolan said he's like, this was new for Hans Zimmer, like this type of
audio,
because he was just like, I said no strings.
No drums.
No drums, none of that. And he didn't even give him really like an outline. So it was just like he like made shit up. He made shit up and it's just like it fucking works as per usual.
I think there was like a fact about that. I think he gave him where is it? Oh yeah, that he gave him a one page of text, but it had nothing to do with the movie and more about like Hans Zimmer's story for the movie. That's some dedication right there.
What was the story? Did they ever release it?
No, they never released it. I mean, sometimes I don't know how you can create like that. Like I wonder what's on the page there. Because that's probably such an interesting thing. Based on, I mean, also the corn maze scene is one of the best. Like I have that score on my phone. Like that score is such a good scene.
Well, they say like during the scene when they're on the water planet running back, they're like, I don't think I really heard it. Like, there's a ticking or something.
Oh, yeah. After I read that, like that, I heard that very prominently.
They're like, you hear the ticking, and for every tick, it's like literally like, what was it? Like a day and a half or something like that? Or
a year and a half.
A year, like something like that. And it's like when you just hear it and you're just like realizing how much fucking time they're losing.
Yeah.
It's like devastating.
Well, now I'm curious what, because this didn't win best song. I mean, score. I wonder what
one. To be like, what song?
Okay, American Sniper and Whiplash. I can see Whiplash. I don't know. Interstellar had some good
what
sound
won?
Editing. American Sniper won for best sound editing, and Whiplash won for best sound mixing.
You know that, like, war. But
what? Which one for which score?
Oh, for score? What one?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
No, sorry, I was talking about the sound too. Grand Budapest Hotel won for sound a score.
Oh, well, Jimmy's not gonna like that.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I feel like I could have won a little more of the technical stuff, but I'm glad I got visual effects because that's like that was one of the like.
To be honest, I don't now like rewatching it. It should have won over Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah.
Because you know what, like those Wes Anderson movies always have the same like feel.
And I'll give it Whiplash, this one of the sound mixing, because Whiplash had a very good sound also. But like, I feel like this should have got.
I think the sound this over was sound better in this than American Sniper.
Exactly, that's what I was saying.
I feel like it always goes to like if there's a war movie moved like in there, like it's always a given that it'll probably go to a war movie.
Especially when they were separated for that time, like it was always like one of those always went to like, you know, a war movie or like a type of, you know, type of war movie.
Yeah.
Some would say this was a war movie against them.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Who said that?
People.
Some uneducated person. Just kidding. I don't know. Someone who just didn't like it.
No, I know. I was just kidding. Because I was about to be like with and I was like, wait, they don't have a name. I was like, oh, with them. That also confused me too. We never know who they are. Are they a person? You're right, Kelly. Are they a person? Is it spiritual? I don't know. All I know is because at first I'm like, why is he only in the girl's room? If this is like the fifth dimension or sixth dimension or gravity dimension, wouldn't you be able to see everything? And I was like, I guess they made him see this. So like, because he would be overwhelmed if he saw it really.
Like he was giving a speech. And he was just like, it's us. And I'm like, what do you mean it's us? I was like, what us? He's like, we just haven't done it yet. And I'm like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I'm so lost.
Also, what confused me is when they were going to the new planet, what, like, how was the world kind of, like, going, like, how is it, like a cylinder? You know what I mean? Just, like, when we're playing baseball.
It just is.
Okay, so it's one of those that I can't question it.
It's gravity. It was like the thing that was man-made.
Yeah, I don't think that was a plant. Like
that was man-made.
Yeah. No, I know, but...
And I think Anne Hathaway found the actual only planet that could sustain life.
No, that was the one that she was... that's another question. Did they ever mention her lover out of nowhere?
A lover?
Remember, like, Matthew McConaughey was like, to Anne Hathaway's character, they were like, you have to tell them? And she's like, well, I'm in love with the person on this planet, so that's why I wanted to go there.
It was Edmonds, wasn't it?
No, who's Edmonds? Is that the Matt Damon one?
No, it was the guy who's the planet that she was trying to reach. And
yeah. Got. I didn't know that they were like. I felt like, did they mention that before?
I think that's why
she was going up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I must have missed that part, because that when Matthew McConaughey was like, whatever her name is, you have to tell them. I was like, tell them what? I was like, wait, did we know this already? But yeah. I guess we did. Never mind. It's my fault. I was just confused, I guess.
It's not super important.
No, I just was like, where? I was like, did I miss it? Or like, have we not brought it up and we're bringing it up now? Like, I wasn't sure which approach they were going with.
Mm.
But yeah, any other thing before we move on to the back half of the show?
No.
Nope.
Time for the movie grid game. Excuse all the ads on the screen right now. They're adding ads, I guess, and we can't get rid of them. Okay, so movie grid game, top row, one word title, ignore the. Three or more word title, released from 2000 to 2024. Left side, Stellan Skarsgård, Alexander Skarsgård, and Bill Skarsgård. If you play movie grid game, you know, you might go for the more popular one, but we here at Popcorn Review go for the more obscure one. So let's begin. Stellan Skarsgård and one word title.
Unless we're playing separately. Yeah,
unless we're playing
the most
separately.
Popular.
Stellan Skarsgård and one word title.
Thor. You can't.
Thor?
It could be Dune.
Yep. But I thought, oh God, they're getting in my way. Oh.
I mean, there's definitely more. I just don't know them off the top of my head right now.
Okay. Sound Scars Garden, three or more word title.
Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Okay. And then released from 2000 to 2024.
Dune.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean. What's the second one?
Dead Man's Chest?
Yeah, he's in that one, right?
Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
Because a whole article came out where he was the only person that did the makeup. Everyone else was CGI. Okay. So we did decent on that one. Alexander Skarsgård and one more title. The Northman?
Sure.
That is one. I just can't think of anything else that he's been in.
Ooh, that's a popular one for it.
Well, like, try to think of another one.
Alexander Skarsgård and three or more word title.
Oh, God.
Tarzan?
The Legend of Tarzan.
Ooh, even more popular. And then Alexander Skarsgård and released from 2000 to 2024.
Infinity Pool.
Ooh,
oh, that's a good movie.
A lot of people have seen these movies.
Well, he hasn't been in a whole lot of movies.
That's true. I feel like he's more TV a lot of times.
Yeah, all I can think of was Succession and True
Bill Blood. Skarsgård and one word title.
It.
It.
Yeah, well, like, most of his movies, like, don't do that well.
Bill Skarsgård, three or more word title. I know John Wick 4.
Was he in? Yeah, John Wick 4.
Should we do that one?
Sure. Yeah.
Chapter four.
Oh, that's kind of low. But and then Bill Skarsgård and released from 2000 to 2024.
It Chapter 2.
It Chapter 2.
Oh, spooky.
What did we do? We got them all. We are the top 22%
today.
That's
not good.
That's not good.
Not great, but you know. MVP, LVP, Jimmy, what's your most valuable player?
The visual effects.
Kelly?
The score.
I will go with Matthew McConaughey.
I was just trying to be different because all the things you guys said were also MVPs, so I was just being different with my answer.
And LVP, least valuable player, Jimmy?
I don't know why, but the guy who died on the water planet bothered me. He was annoying.
Okay. Kelly?
What's his name?
Wes Bentley?
Bentley, yeah. You know why? Because I only think of him from The Hunger Games and his weird beard.
Okay. Least valuable player. Anne Hathaway's haircut. I don't know.
She was hot off an Oscar for that haircut. So,
well, she was regrowing her hair back for shaving it.
I understand it was also supposed to be scientifically correct because her hair would be flying everywhere. But
yeah,
I
they make it...
don't enjoy blunt haircuts. Like,
that's the only reason they cast her. Imagine... So that the hair would be floating around.
Unless Florence Pugh.
Yeah, imagine they like had to like, oh, well, now you have to CGI or make like tie each one of strands of her hair to fishing wire and just have it floating for the whole time.
Well, that's
or
not
they
how they
just
do
have
it.
Her but... hair in a bun so that they don't have to do that.
I was gonna say that it's usually they have that weird like crown thing of like CGI dots. Mine will be they made me feel stupid with so much science.
Oh, science.
I know.
Oh no, the Tesseract, that's my LVP. The box that I was in, because I don't know what the fuck was happening.
For a second, I was like, wait. I thought of, like, Marvel Tesseract. I'm like, no, wait. There is a Tesseract in this movie. What is it? I'm like, oh, the box. Okay.
Yeah, that's the LVP, because that's when the movie got,
the Gravity
like,
Realm.
That's when I was like, what is happening right now? And he's, also, like, touching it, and it's hard, but then it looks like guitar strings.
Fabric,
and I'm like,
yeah.
So confused.
Was anyone else confused about how gravity is a whole dimension?
No.
Okay, just me? Cool.
Well, I meant, like, I wasn't confused because I just didn't understand.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I was just like, I don't know what's happening, so.
Jimmy, do you want to help us explain that one, or too
no.
much for today?
No. Okay. I think I explained enough about
gravity. I think he scienced himself out.
But you are science, as you say.
I am science.
Okay, time for ratings. Okay, I will give it a 8.5.
Kelly?
8.5.
I'm going to give it an 8.
I thought we were going to be close to the rating.
That's an 8.3% or thing out of 10.
Okay. That is compared to an 8.7 out of 10. Very
we're
close.
Close enough.
Close, but
we're
no cigar.
Close. We're close.
So, Jim, do you want to close us out with some clues for next week?
Okay. It's a sequel. There are worms. and I don't know, a talking baby, a talking fetus.
That's okay. Fair.
I think those are all fair. Those are all fair.
Those are all good ones.
Stay tuned for next episode when you talk about what did you say, an unborn fetus?
I said a talking fetus.
A talking fetus. When we talk about a talking fetus. See you guys later.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. You can hear us anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we want to hear what you think, so leave us a review. Give us some likes on social media at Pop Horror Review. Click around www.pophorrorreview.com. Become a member of our Patreon page, patreon.com/pophorrorreview, for exclusive content and drink recipes. And one last thing before you go, make sure to check out the Titan Media Collective and Titan Cast Network. Enjoy the rest of your Movie Monday.
That was a Titan Cast episode.